With me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49, and that's found on page 610 in the Bibles provided in the pew, and I'll be reading verses 8 through 18. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, to those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways, on all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them, for he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forgotten me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your builders make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste go out from you. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather. They come to you. As I live, declares the Lord, you shall put them all on as an ornament. You shall bind them on as a bride does. When I was selecting the title for this sermon, I struggled with it a little bit. At first, I was going to have it the question, has the Lord forgotten you? But I felt that if I preached that way, I would give you the impression that I've never felt that way. If I'd made it plural, has the Lord forgotten us? It might become some of those group things that we say that we nod our head yes or no to. But I wanted to make this message very personal. Because although we have never said it out loud, And maybe we wouldn't say it out loud. I wouldn't say it out loud for the very reason that I know that God knows all things, that he's aware. I know as a fact that if God were to forget any one of us here this morning, or all of us, or this entire creation, that it would disappear. What I'm talking about is that feeling that one gets at times in life because of life's circumstances. Now that I've gotten a little bit older, I have a different perspective on things. I used to think that the worst thing that the elderly worried about was forgetting things. And a lot of times this happens because We're afraid that it might mean something like Alzheimer's. I remember my father complaining to me when I was probably about 40 years old, and he was a little bit older than I am now. And he said to me, he said, "Bobby, I've forgotten so many things." And I told my dad, I said, "Dad, I've already forgotten more than you've ever learned." And he said to me, "Wait a minute, how do you figure that?" And I said, "When I was 15 years old, Dad, I knew more than you did. And so I have to have forgotten it more than you." I made a little bit of a joke out of it, but when you start losing that and losing that recognition, it becomes a little different matter. I had a little struggle at times with people's names. Faces I remember. I know who they are. I know who they're related to. And for some reason or another, I recently went back to Geneva College for my 50th reunion. I got this gold pin for it, for living long enough to make it back there. And when I got there, my daughter Rebecca went with me, and we were standing at the tent where you sign in, and a fellow came up, and he said to me, "I suppose you don't remember me." And I could not immediately remember his first name. I knew his last name because his brother was a roommate of mine in college, Tom Robb. And so I knew his last name was Robb. I couldn't immediately think of his first name, but I thought of something that was even better. I said to him one word, "Lotus." And a grin appeared on his face because he knew that I remembered him. Because when Tom and I were in college there, his brother came and visited the campus. And at that time, he had bought a lotus. And if you've never seen a lotus, they stand less than 4 feet high. They're a mid-engine car. And in order to get into it, you've got to slip in this way and recline. He let me sit in it once. Didn't take me for a ride in it, but I did get to sit in that car. And he knew that I recognized him. And I said, "You're Roger Robb." Because then I remembered his first name. And so the next thing I asked him was, "How's Tom?" Roger's a rather blunt person. He said, "Tom died over a month ago. I'd heard nothing about it." And he explained to me that Tom had died of a blood cancer. Tom was a doctor. Doctors are supposed to be able to deal with these things. Came as a bit of a shock to me. But all that said about memory and trying to keep track of things, I think that there's a greater fear for the elderly. And that is to be forgotten. It's one thing to forget things, to forget people's names, to forget appointments that you had, things you should have done. It's another thing to imagine that people have forgotten you. And I spoke with someone some time back, someone I'd actually grown up with, and her father had died, and her mother had been placed in a home. And she told me that when she goes to visit her mom complains and says that they placed her in that home so that they wouldn't have to be around her or deal with her. The truth of the matter is her children visit her often, but she has memory loss, especially current events, and she doesn't keep track of things. But the memory loss isn't what bothers her. It's the idea of not being remembered, being forgotten. This passage in Isaiah speaks about that. speaks about Zion saying, "The Lord has forsaken me." The country was overrun by the Babylonians. They had destroyed the city and the temple and taken people off into captivity. And things really looked bad. Turn with me to Lamentations, chapter 5. Lamentations chapter 5, and beginning with verse 19. This book, a book that is on lamenting, grieving over all that destruction and the things that have befallen God's people, ends in a rather dreary way. Verse 19, "But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and you remain exceedingly angry with us." Israel had promises from God. Promises made before this destruction came upon them. Promises that were given them so they would have something to rely upon, but they weren't thinking about those promises. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. And there's a verse in chapter 29 that is very popular. I've seen it on a lot of posters, and some people claim the verse for themselves, and so very seldom is it quoted in context. Listen to what it says here in Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 10. "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promises and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you in exile." How many people have claimed that verse, that God has plans for me? Plans for good and not for evil. And failed to realize these folks were going to have to wait 70 years. I'm just old enough now. January, I'll be 74. I'm just old enough to have some concept of what 70 years means. It's a long time. And our passage here in Isaiah is talking about God bringing about this restoration. And he's going to bring this restoration about by his suffering servant. That's who's referred to in verse 8 there. I hope you caught the references to things that we know from the New Testament that would clearly indicate that we're talking about Jesus here. That making the mountains a road and the highway being raised up, that was John the Baptist coming before Christ. Verse 8. In a time of favor, I have answered you. Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 7 through 9. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. God answered Jesus' prayers. This is the day of salvation. And Jesus is a covenant to the people. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He is the intercessor of the covenant. And the promise here in verse 12, interestingly enough, it does have initially to do with the children of Israel returning to land. But do you realize that I read someplace that the first group that came back from Babylon only numbered 40,000? That's the population of Hutchinson, Kansas. And yet here it talks about people coming from afar, from the north and from the west. And Jesus tells us that these people who come will sit down with Abraham and Isaac. That's in Matthew 8, verse 11. And it even mentions, you probably noticed that the ESV has Cyrene as the name of the land listed there. Actually, in Hebrew, it's Sinim. S-I-N-I-M. Write that down. S-I-N-I-M. Look it up. Find out where it is. You'll be surprised. It's the furthest place from Israel that could be imagined at that time. God argues that he will remember us. He had chosen Israel. And in verse 15, he makes a reference, interesting reference. He asks the question, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? It's unimaginable that a woman who has given birth to a child and is nursing that child regularly, that she would forget and not have compassion. But God says, even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. He goes on to say, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. I can remember at different times taking a pen out and and writing someone's telephone number on my hand so I would remember it, or writing some note to myself. Of course, I knew some kids in high school that used to write notes way up here. They'd always wear a long sleeve shirt, of course. Had to do a test they were going to take. They wanted to remember it. And God has said here that He has engraved you on the palms of His hands. Turn with me to John chapter 10. In verses 27 through 29, Jesus is speaking here. And He tells us, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." That's real assurance, isn't it? Do you know Jesus Christ in that way? I remember telling someone one time, someone who didn't believe in election and predestination. She asked me if I believed I was elect, and I said yes. And she said, "Well, you must think a lot of yourself." And I said, "Oh, no. You don't understand election. That had nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing. That was God's decision. I have nothing to brag about. I can't say that I chose Jesus and pat myself on the back for it. I responded in faith because God gave me faith." And that's where each one of us sits this morning, who has faith in Jesus Christ. It's nothing of ourselves. It's all of Him. But there still may come times when we question, because of sins in our lives, we wonder if God still wants us, still loves us. We can become so entangled in things that are wrong that we can become blinded to the truth of what Christ has done for us. That's something we do not want to do. And that's why we remember the Lord's death this morning, so that we can be constantly reminded, this is the basis. This is the covenant. This is the basis of my relationship to God. Yes, I owe it to God to be obedient. Yes, I should seek to please Him because He has loved me so much. But when I fail, He does not fail. This passage that I read to you this morning closes with the statement that, "As I live, declares the Lord, you shall put them all on as an ornament. You shall bind them on as a bride does." The treasure. It was a tradition in the Middle East, to this day in many of the cultures there, that a bride takes her dowry with her. In some cultures, the coins are actually sewn into her dress so that she takes this with her when she goes into the relationship of marriage. And we're going, if we have faith, into a glorious marriage. Revelation 19. Verses 6 through 9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure." I am here to tell you this morning that if you truly have faith in Jesus Christ, that regardless of what you go through in this life, he always remembers you. And he asks of us that we would come in repentance, trusting in his sacrifice, and that we would remember his death until he comes again. Let's look to God in prayer. Father, that we thank you that though our minds may grow dim and we may from time to time forget things, and we may be confused and imagine that everyone has forgotten us, help us, Father, to open our eyes to the reality that you do not forget your own. That we did not choose you, but you chose us. And that you are the faithful one, the one who never forgets, the one who always keeps track of each and every one of us, and the one who, when we stray, you call us back to yourself. Just as you restored Israel to the land, 70 years they were in exile. And yet they were brought back to the land and to the reminder of your faithfulness and the joy of salvation. I pray, Father, if there is anyone here this morning who has strayed for a moment or weeks or months or years, that your Spirit would be now drawing them back to yourself in repentance. That we might rejoice together in the Lord's Supper. In his name we pray. Amen.